This is really weird, but Deepak Chopra's in the metaverse? He's trying to build, he's saying he wants people to come there and there's different immersive experiences in different rooms of these homes that you virtually build because your home is infinite. But right now we live in a finite place. And like, so Deepak Chopra's in the metaverse. But then I saw something that really caught my eyes. It said, looking ahead, Chopra intends to manifest the Chopraverse in the physical world by building in real life homes called Houses of Enlightenment. And he was quoted as saying, we want physical spaces around these virtual homes.
Wait, my guy, that's just a home.
That's what? A home.
That's just a home. My guy, that's just a house. That's a community.
I read this and I was like, what?
I was like, yo, gosh.
This, I knew you'd love this.
What is happening?
I knew you'd love this.
Dude. That's
not a metaverse.
On?
That's called the universe.
Bro, he's saying you're going to sit in a home and make a virtual home to then make another physical home around the virtual home.
What is happening?
And I was like, yo, I'm done.
What is going on?
I'm sweating.
Welcome to Mild Mannered and Timid with three brown folks that are tired of that safe shit. Hi, everybody. It is episode 134 of Mild Mannered and Timid. You find us at Mild Mannered Timid on Instagram. I'm Kunal. You can find me at Callisay on Instagram. I'm here with my fucking beautiful co-host, as always. I have my wife, Rhea.
Yeah, I am your humble humble man
positive guy. I figured Kush would take that.
At Kush Parm.
Yeah, the beautiful co-host.
My beautiful co-host, my wife. Hi, I'm the humble.
So we have Kush and we have Rhea. You know where to find them, at Rhea Anjali Music, at Kush Parm. Kush, does anyone DM you yet or no?
No.
Okay. Nope. Just checking in. Just fucking checking in.
Nobody has directly DM'd me.
Oh my goodness.
After 134 episodes, I've been asking.
So if you are a repeat listener, thank you for joining us again. If you're a new listener, fucking get ready. This is episode 134. Some of the things we're going to cover, whether kind of long-windedly or short-windedly. Hasan Minhaj put out a new special. Deepak Chopra's in the fucking metaverse. Amir Khan's getting called out for an advertisement about love jihad, I think. There's some Scooby-Doo shit going on with Mindy Kaling. Some Scooby-Doo shit, you feel me? Kerala is hosting a girls' night out to encourage women to enjoy nightlife. So pay attention when I start talking about that.
The entire state of Kerala?
Apparently.
What do you mean?
In sad news, a Sikh family was killed in California, so we're going to cover that story. It's been in the news a lot recently. And also, the Trader Joe's bag that you use, Rhea, that you fucking love, is also in the news, and it's made in India. Jute bags are making a huge resurgence in the U.S.
Oh my God, I have two of these.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm trying to think of what else we have that's interesting. I mean,
we're going to be doing brownie points at the end.
Oh yeah, brownie points is going to be at the end.
Oh, I'm so
excited.
We have
a new episode of brownie, new edition of brownie points. And then I think only other thing I was going to cover was that apparently Indians are getting more resistant to antibiotics. Not a great thing.
Oh,
and we
shit.
Also killed a bunch of Gambian kids with cough medicine. So that's our episode. Episode 134. So
cool.
How's everyone been since the last, 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks?
You know, I was liking this last episode where you said everything at the top of the episode, but because there's always bad news, all of a sudden I'm like depressed.
Yeah, it's sad.
Like, I'm in
it's hard, yeah.
mode after
yeah.
you said a bunch of the headlines.
Yeah. I don't know how to effectively straddle those worlds.
Don't say straddle.
I don't.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Don't
I'm
say
trying
straddle.
To understand.
Don't say it.
That's how Kunal walks. Kunal walks like he's straddling something.
Bow-legged. Bow-legged for life.
Bow-legged babies are so stupid looking. And so, like, in such a cute way. Just so stupid and cute.
Yeah, how do those bones kind of recover into standing like a regular human
Literally
being?
Literally have no idea.
Yeah, I didn't understand what bow-legged was till I visually saw it.
Yeah.
You know what my favorite is? Pigeon-toed.
Wait, what's that?
Where your toes
you know who does that?
Each other when
Purav does that.
Or stand. Oh, he's pigeon-toed? Oh,
yeah, Rhea, you know, remember you've seen when Purif stands straight? How his feet are, like, inwards a little bit?
That's pigeon-toed. Yeah, they go inward.
I never really, like, looked.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Rhea,
you better start looking at some toes so you know who's out there. No,
it's even apparent, like, when he's wearing shoes and everything. Like, he just stands in a certain way. Yeah, always stands that way.
Do you not make fun of him all the time for it?
No, why would we do that? Purif's a fucking man. We don't make fun of him for nothing.
I know, but it's so stupid.
Yeah. It is funny looking. It is kind of funny. What's up?
Navratri ended last week.
Oh my God. We didn't even talk about it.
Did we do an episode where we talked about what that was?
Yes.
Or did we talk about Diwali? I forget.
No, I think we talked about both. I think we talked about both for sure.
Wait, Navratri ended? We talked about both and then...
Yeah.
Yeah, October 5th, it ended.
Oh,
and then
shit. Okay.
Diwali is going to be October 24th this year.
I didn't fast this year, so whatever. Because the year I remember talking about this because I told you guys about how I fasted and my mom made fun of me.
Oh, yeah. What did you fast for?
I just thought I'd try. That was all for Navratri. Like, you just, not fast. I went vegetarian for the entire thing. And my mom was like, for fucking why?
Oh.
She just made fun of me. She was just like,
for why?
For why? So I stopped doing it.
I've been trying to, like, intermittent fast.
Ooh, how's that working?
Because, like, I don't know how you guys used to feel about fasting, but I always thought it was, like, dumb.
Yes.
But then, like, I didn't realize there were, like, health benefits, and it wasn't just strictly, like, religious. I mean, obviously, we as Hindus do it religiously.
I bet it came from something, though, like the health benefits. Like, there's always something to it, and they just kind of couch it as religious.
Yeah, because, like, when they fasted too much and they started seeing things and hearing voices, they were like, ah, religion. Not like, oh, we should have food. You know what I mean?
But also, I think they also fast to as a way of, like, giving up something, like Lent for Christians.
Yeah, you always have to
sacrifice. Give up something, sacrifice, yeah.
Yeah, big part of religion, sacrifice.
And it's interesting because I'm not religious at all, but when my mom started doing this Friday fasting thing for a specific God back 32 years ago at this point, and she did it for, like, something was really wrong in her life, and she, like, kind of, like, gave up this, you know, meat and stuff on Fridays, and she was like, I'm doing this to sacrifice, you know, whatever meat and be able to maybe hopefully get this thing that she wanted. It's not a selfish thing. It was, like, something really important. And so since then, she's been doing that specific fast and puja for 32 years. And so now when there's good things that come around, like when Kunal had an interview, I told him to take it on a Friday. Like, I'm not religious, but in my head, I'm just like, what's the harm, right?
It always struck me as such a bad day to do fasting, though. Like, your mom for 32 years fasts on a Friday. That basically means she's a loser. That means no one asked her to dinner on Fridays or anything. Like, for
dude, our parents don't live the lives that we do. They don't go out to dinner, hang out.
I was like, you could have just picked a random Tuesday to fast. Like, just
no, because it's
Friday.
Specifically for a specific God. It's a God. Tuesdays
that
is
God,
the one.
I need to know that God's name, and I need to file a complaint. You should not be telling people to not eat wonderful foods on a Friday. You just shouldn't. You should do that.
I mean, if you can get by. I don't know. Yeah, it's her thing.
Whatever.
But there are certain facets of this fasting that don't make sense to me. And I've asked her about it because she's like, you can't have sour things. You can't have onions and garlic. Like, I was like, are you Jane?
Onions and garlic, I get, because that's in our, like, yoga sutras.
It inflames your sexual passions. I'm playing. That's what it does.
There's truth to that.
That's what
I know. I don't think you're lying.
You take a chomp out of a fucking onion, your dick gets hard. That's just how it is. That's just
oh my God.
That's just what happens.
Oh shit, I better buy some onions today.
Oh God.
Yo, how to cure ED, garlic and onion. That's it.
Garlic and onions, baby.
Garlic and onion.
Yeah, best combo.
She says she can't have sour. And when I asked her last time, because she was here, I was like, Ma, you can't have sour. And I was like, why? And she goes, Rhea, I don't know. It's just been a long time since I've done it. So remember she said that in front of you, Kunal.
Yeah.
I was like, look, meat, I understand.
She's like, shut the fuck up. Let me do my thing.
That's yeah, and at this point, she's also, because she comes out and she's just like, oh, I really want this food. And I'm like, Ma, is it that serious? She's like, oh, okay, maybe I could have the sour mango. And I was just like, come on. Like, she could have papaya salad.
Ooh, that gachi mango.
Yeah.
That's
a little bit of chaat masala, a little bit of chili powder, mirchi.
How is all this talk helping your intermittent fasting, Kush?
Oh, yes.
Well, I mean, I'm at that time now. It's like 5 p.m. where I'm at, so I can eat.
Oh,
so
and you're going to sit here for
like
an hour and not eat. You're fasting more.
That's my fasting for an hour. Sure. Yes, exactly.
What's your
hours? I fast all day, baby, at an hour at a time. I fast for an hour at a time every single day. Yeah, speaking of religion, I'm not going to spend too much time on this.
Yeah, go for it.
We got like a big day. So I was triggered on social media,
I love
of course.
I love this already. What's going on?
Over the weekend, because somebody that follows us and that I started following, I think he's Muslim. He had posted on his Instagram story a tweet from this account that was basically saying like, oh, like, Gujarati Hindus since 2018 have been discriminating against Muslims trying to come to like Navratri, Garba, and all that stuff.
Okay.
Right? And it was basically a repost of an article from 2018 where in Atlanta, this organization denied entry to Garba for this Muslim guy, even though his surname was like Hindu. And he was actually Muslim.
Uh-huh.
But his name was like very Gujarati and Indian or whatever.
Sure.
And this guy had reposted it. And I checked out the Twitter account because I was wondering why this tweet was recent from 2018. So, and I checked the account and like the entire Twitter account was basically all anti-Hindu, anti-Indian.
Oh my
nice.
God.
That kind of stuff.
Nice. Also, and, one place. Like,
yeah.
Come
on,
what the fuck?
What was the reason?
His comment.
What was the reason?
His comment was, all you Gujarati, Gujarati Hindus as a whole are racist and prejudiced people.
Ah, lovely.
Make sure you speak up.
That's
and
facts.
Blah, blah, blah.
But I agree. That's facts. I am very racist and prejudicial. Like, for sure.
I'm racist.
All we
100%
do
I'm
on
racist.
This podcast is defend Muslims. That's all we do. We actually don't defend Hindus.
I know.
we are what my dad thinks is the problem with India.
I know. And I was just so mad because I was like, this is this young guy. One of his best friends is a Hindu Gujarati. Mm-hmm. And it was just weird to see it. I was going to write back and be like, you know, you're saying something prejudiced and racist to fight prejudice and racism, right? Like,
that's not
going to
work.
Make any sense.
It's not going to work. Guarantee you.
But I let it go because I was like, this is like a blanket statement. It's just for the smoke.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm not going to give in to this shit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to think about it. And for the first time, like, I didn't spiral. Mm-hmm. Even though I was kind of triggered by kind of just ridiculousness.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
That's interesting. I wish I like even the one place thing doesn't interest me as much as like, I wonder what the actual reason was for not allowing that one singular person in at Garba.
Well, I found the article that it came from and it was literally just one guy at the door.
Yeah.
Who is just hates Muslims, I guess. That's what it sounded like. Because if anybody our age or normal was doing entry stuff,
so it was not
I've
like an organizational.
But I also have to
choice.
Believe other Muslims got in. Like
I don't know how many Muslims in Atlanta go to Garba. So
yeah, I just assume it's got to be.
Should we deep dive into this?
I assume
we, like,
it's got to be
the
like
details?
More
Let's
than
find
one.
Somebody
That's why
who
this
was
is
there.
So interesting.
Yeah,
let's get
but
to
I thought
organizers.
The reason it was brought up because maybe a similar incident happened in like the last week or so.
No,
right?
Just random retweet from 2018.
I saw
I
saw something recently. I can't remember what it was.
Did.
I did see something recently.
Because I googled like discrimination, Garba discrimination, Navratri discrimination, and all those articles kind of pointed me towards 2018. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anything recent, but I didn't do like a deep.
No, maybe what I saw was a video that I thought was recent, but I just like very quickly saw it. And I was just like, I don't like, this isn't a thing. Like, it's not a thing. No matter how much you try to make it a thing, it's not a thing. Like, people are not being
There's
kicked out of
There's literally Gujarati Muslims.
Yeah, people are
we
not
are
being kicked out
of
Garba for being Muslim. They're not. And that's not a, like you
There's
said, it's a general
There's people who are going to Garba
statement.
Who are not Hindu, period.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
and he was
thing.
Lumping like Modi into the post also.
Of course he
was. Just like, I mean, we know like our people love Modi for the wrong reasons and we get it.
Yeah.
But people our age, like in our generation, like I'm sure they're going to start running these organizations and like Garbas and
Soon,
stuff like that if they haven't already. So I don't think this is going to be as prevalent.
I hope not. But remember, we talk about it sometimes where we're like, yo, some of the people we know are just.
It does happen.
They're completely just mirroring everything their parents did. And like, so we're hopeful for the future, but like, it's weird because they just start doing the same things that their parents did.
You have mentioned this about, other like groups of people, but like, I really still do believe that the majority of people out here in that generation do not love Modi. I think that they just kind of are silent because there's just, it's easier to be silent rather than like say something against him where our generation wants to speak up. Like between my mom and dad, yes, my dad has gone off of deep end, but my mom's the one who's actually from India, and she's understood that he's not the one.
I think the difference though is like Gujarati people though. Like Kush said,
he's Gujarati.
Specifically, Gujarati people love this dude and they'll totally overlook anything bad about him. And they, because constantly they're just like, he made Gujarat such a rich state. It's like, great, get over it. That's all I hear ever. Yeah. All I ever hear.
Okay, I get that.
So that's like maybe
speaking
that.
Of silence. Sorry, I keep going off course.
No, go for it.
From this shoot.
No,
it's fine.
But it's just things keep popping up in my head. So Sarah Silverman, she's like a popular comedian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She reacted to Kanye West's recent tweet about how he's going to go DEFCON 5 on Jewish people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Say that again. DEFCON 5 what?
On Jewish people.
DEFCON 5 on Jewish people.
Tell me what's DEFCON 5?
It's like a defensive, like when you are here, I'll look it up. Like exactly what it is.
It's a code phrase for the military or something
like
that.
Yeah, it's an alert.
It's basically he's threatening Jewish people.
Yeah.
For him being like blackballed from certain things and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So Sarah Silverman, she's a Jewish comedian, very famous. She's like, oh, so nobody's going to speak up. Like, how is this not trending? Mm-hmm. Are Jewish people are not going to speak up to this and blah, blah, blah. And then people were, of course, attacking her because they were just like, they posted a picture of her in blackface that she did for her show.
Oh, shit.
But it was ironically, like it was satire.
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
okay.
But basically the reason I'm bringing it up is because she was saying that Jewish people were keeping quiet about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, there's so many similarities between how Jewish people react to like hate in the way that Indian people react to hate.
Seems like there's a lot of similarities within our cultures in general. Also, if Kanye thinks he's being blackballed by the Jewish community, he's wrong. He's being blackballed by everybody because he's a fucking psychopath.
Yeah,
he's a fucking psychopath.
It's
like, it's literally like people who refuse to acknowledge something's wrong with them, and they just pinpoint it to one specific. Oh well, you guys are fucking racist towards us. No, you're crazy. You're crazy.
Definitely.
Anyways. Okay,
bipolar is not crazy.
According to my dad, bipolar doesn't exist. So,
oh my god.
So, but the whole Kanye thing is wild and like definitely worthy of its own. Worthy of its own episode.
But that's it. That's all I have.
Okay. No, that was sick. Those are some good
additions.
Those
are nice recaps.
Yeah, those are some nice good things. Let's get into the pop culture tidbits. So Hasan Minhaj's new special came out. It's called The King's Jester. What happened?
Can I say something?
Can't wait.
Fuck Hasan.
Can't wait. I knew it.
I'm into
it. Hasan.
I knew it.
I'm into it. No, I was
going
to say
tradition going.
That he did drop The King's Jester. I've heard it's good. I haven't watched it. I was going to ask if you had watched it, Kush, because I asked Rhea yesterday. It popped up on Netflix. I said, do you want to put this on? And I thought she would. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know what? I don't really feel like it. You know, right now.
Yeah.
And that was it. And so that was interesting to
Between
me.
Between the three of us, I'm probably the only, the one that would watch it the most, I think.
Possibly, but most I think Kush has interest in this shit too, but like you didn't watch it, did you?
I have interest in the performance aspect.
That's
of
what
it.
I mean.
Yeah. I don't have interest in him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if like he released it and then I actually ended up seeing a bunch of like, you know, clips on my Instagram and like on my reels and on my TikTok and whatever. So I think it was feeding me like instances to get me to watch it. But the more I saw it, I was just like, I don't want to.
Yeah, I'll probably get around to it. It's just like, I'm not in the mood for political, social.
That's what it was for me.
Commentary.
Too. That's what it was right for me now. As well.
I think I'm not in the mood for his delivery.
That too. Yeah. You know what? That too.
Smug, that goddamn
yeah,
smug.
Yeah, that's what it is. I think I'm not in the mood for that.
Okay, guys, calm down. Relax. Relax. He does have a style. It's a style of performing.
I think that's what it is.
But I will say I was not looking forward to the delivery for some reason. I just wanted some like simple shit. I wanted some fucking Tom Papa shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I just wanted some cutie pie old man like
you're doing good. You're doing good.
I'm not even in the mood for Bill Burr anymore. I don't know. Just like, it's a whole lot.
No, I can.
Bill Burr, I'll still watch.
Burr, I'll still watch. Yeah. Hassan, that smugness. I don't care. I don't want to see
it.
Wait,
what
right
do you
now.
Guys mean by the smugness? Because you both agreed at the exact
Bill Burr
same
has
time.
Smugness too. fact, Bill Burr has smugness too, but he's good at being mean funny.
Yeah.
Where Hassan is smug, but he's just like he's a smart. Like, you know how Shah Rukh Khan has like that smugness, like smart ass quality?
Yeah.
He's like a Shah Rukh Khan with that. Like, he has this.
He's
like
a Shah Rukh Khan of comedy, like, of brown comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a high acclaim. I don't know if I want to give him that yet, though. But like, that's a high acclaim.
It was the only reference I could make. Yeah. It wasn't like to compare.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
Kush and I know what we're thinking when we think of him. Yeah. You know what it is too, Rhea. You're just not. It's not clicking just yet, but it'll click with you.
It's not a bad thing. Yeah. It's just like I wasn't in the mood.
I'm not in the mood. Yeah, 1,000%.
Same.
So if any of you listeners have a. If any of you listeners have, I don't know, watched it and want to share a quip or something, let us know, or fucking don't. Snapchat's bringing parental controls to India. This is just a throwaway thing for me. I just thought it was funny. Snapchat has parental controls in the US, but it's just like bringing it specifically to Indian parents who they have a huge population over there that uses Snapchat. I didn't realize, but like Indian parents are going to clamp down even further on their kids. Like, via the parental controls, they're just gonna
listen,
be like,
I'm kind of for it when it comes to Snapchat is only a fucking wild doctors. Place yeah. Oh, that's weird. I just mean like fucking like nudity and all that kind of shit, just yeah, like yeah, Snapchat no, is a yes. weird fucking place.
Yeah,
like it's a wild it place.
Is, India Snapchat I don't even know if I want to know what that's about. I don't know Me if neither. I want to know about that life. Yeah. India Snapchat. So yeah. They've introduced parental controls there. And then speaking of parental controls, this is really weird, but Deepak Chopra's in the metaverse and
doing what?
My God.
I don't know, because this is really weird. As I dove a little bit into this article about him,
what's he doing there?
He basically he
I imagine his avatar being on top of a mountain and just saying, oh.
He's trying to build, he's saying he wants people to come there and there's different immersive experiences in different rooms of these homes that you virtually build because your home is infinite. But right now we live in a finite place. And like, so Deepak Chopra's in the metaverse. But then I saw something that really caught my eyes. It said, looking ahead, Chopra intends to manifest the Chopraverse in the physical world by building in real life homes called Houses of Enlightenment. And he was quoted as saying, we want physical spaces around these virtual homes.
Wait, my guy, that's just a home. That's just a home. My guy, that's just a house. That's a community.
I read this and I was like, what?
I was like, yo, Kush.
This, I knew you'd love this.
What is happening?
I knew you'd love this.
Dude.
That's
not a metaverse. That's called the universe.
Bro, he's saying you're going to sit in a home and make a virtual home to then make another physical home around the virtual home.
What is happening?
I was like, yo, what's going on?
I'm sweating.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. I'm sweating right now.
It made me so confused. I was like, what the shit is happening? So good luck to that motherfucker. I don't know. Deepak Chopra, I think, may have been our first Indian celebrity, like, in the U.S.
ever in like, life.
I think he might have been. Like, that guy's been around and thriving since, like, the 60s and 70s.
In terms of superstar status out of the U.K., U.S., whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's from. But, yeah, I would say so. Because I feel like he probably blew up on Oprah. That's where everybody blows up, right?
Yeah.
He might have been the first
I think he might have,
Indian
but he's been around
be
since, like, fucking forever, and people know him. Like,
he's
Deepak
just
Chopra's name rings bells.
Person? He's just like a guru.
He's a guru. He's like an enlightenment guru sort of thing.
I think he has a doctorate in something, but who knows?
Yeah. At this point, no, he definitely does.
Why should it be like an honorary doctorate?
And I asked him to be on our podcast. I asked to interview him, and he said no. so that's
because he's currently in the metaverse thinking about the real verse.
Amazing. The real verse instead of the universe, the real verse.
Yeah. The Chopra verse. Wait, really quickly, can I just tell you, I came across a fucking weird ass reel and I was like, I need to get out of this part of Instagram. It was it's related to the metaverse. It was this dude saying, this is your sign to pretend to be a girl in the metaverse and strip because he was making a ton of money and all he was showing, or I mean, obviously this is just a reel. He's just showing loads of cash and then like cars and shit. Apparently this dude has an avatar that's a girl who is a stripper in the metaverse, and he strips for money. So I was just like, weird.
That's genius.
I was like, weird, but also Kunal.
It is genius. It is genius. Anyone who structures their videos in that way, where they show you something and then show you cash and cars,
yeah,
liar.
Yeah.
Just it's liar.
Also, someone was like, that's a lot of money to invest in whatever that thing is where you can be the, like, actual, you can do the movements and stuff. Like, that's a, some sort of a suit, right?
I don't know what that is. I have no idea.
Soup?
Suit? Like a, like suit. Some sort of technology where you put it on you so that you can actually be what's in the...
Oh, like VR kind
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah. So, like, is he
that.
Really stripping? Is my... Because imagine I walk into a room and Kunal has, like,
if
green
he's just
dots.
Wearing goggles,
yeah, yeah,
and he's just, like,
exactly. Like, just I walk, dancing. Yeah, I walk into a room, Kunal has, like, green dotted suit all over him, and he's just like, do you need me?
That would be really
and
fun.
He's
just belly dancing.
He's just belly dancing, and he's just like, really, this is how we're going to get our LA house.
Yeah, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes yeah. to make it, you feel me?
Yeah.
Shake my derriere. So, like, apparently Amir Khan is in a commercial for a bank with somebody named Kiara Advani. I don't know who that is, but I assume she's somebody. And now people are slamming the ad for hurting Hindu sentiments.
What's the ad?
It's so irritating. I mean, apparently in the fucking ad, it begins with this Kiara Advani and Amir Khan dressed as a bride and groom talking about how she didn't cry during her bidai. And then mm-hmm. the commercial further hints mm-hmm. at Amir becoming a garjamai and being welcomed by her family.
Okay.
And so people are just mad because he's Muslim and he's marrying a Hindu girl. And they're talking
oh
about
my God.
This stuff.
Who's getting mad? Muslims or Hindus?
No, there's Hindus getting mad because they're just like, he would never do this with like Muslim wedding traditions and like triple talaq and all that, you know, weird stuff that they talk about. So this is like an extension of that love jihad thing. It's so fucking weird. And like some big director said some shit about it too.
Wait, I gotta see this commercial. I'm not really understanding. Is the only thing that happened was Amir Khan married a Hindu girl?
Yes. And like they're
I don't think you're gonna understand
yeah,
even after.
You're not even gonna get it afterwards. It's literally it's just they're still doing the same shit over there, which is really strange.
Guys, fucking get over it. Like right. You guys have no lives, do you? Like, do you have goals in life? You have anything that you wanna do in life? Like what is going on?
They get no bitches. That's all I know. They get no bitches. They get zero bitches.
Jesus. Go get a dog, like have a pet. Go take a vacation.
Yeah, that's fair.
Go to Goa.
That's fair. Speaking of going to Goa, but having nothing to do with it whatsoever, Kerala is hosting a girls' night out to encourage women to enjoy nightlife. I think this is really funny. I think it's such a great initiative.
Kerala, it makes sense that Kerala is doing that because Kerala is always like a little bit ahead of their
Yeah, a little bit
shit,
ahead,
you know?
And they think yeah. about women's rights and stuff. It's yeah. a four-day-long girls' night out campaign. It is launched in this place called... One thing that really grinds my gears, these Kerala people, South Indian people, they always use the letter Z too fucking much in their language. Too much. Like a Z.
Dude, it's part of their language,
it should
all.
Not be used as much as it is because this town is called Muvattupuza.
It's the ZH is a R sound.
That's not right. That would be an RH. That's not, I don't believe that.
Okay,
you cannot with a ZH make a R. That's
Tamil,
not how that works.
The word Tamil is yeah. actually Tamir.
That's wrong. No, that's I don't believe that. That's not wrong.
That is incorrect.
That's incorrect.
Ask anybody.
I can ask them
anybody.
And I will tell them it is wrong.
Tamir.
I'm
pretty sure I'm pronouncing it wrong because I don't think I can do that sound. But yes, it's T-A-M-I-Z-H.
It's an L.
Look.
So many people are triggered.
Yeah, I know. They're going to love this part of it. They're going to love this part.
Look up T-A. Can one of you look up T-A-M-I-Z-H?
I'm
not doing it right now. Fuck this. No, that's not the point of this, to actually correct what I'm saying. But no.
Yeah, because we know he's wrong.
Yeah, you know I'm wrong. You know what I'm doing. There's no point, Ria. You're going too far down the rabbit hole. So in this place, Muvattupuza, this is where they started this 4-day-long girls' night out campaign. It's encouraging women to step out after dark and create nightlife in the town. Really cool. Food stalls, lightings, music performances, Zumba dance, and a woman's marathon were some of the highlights of the event.
Cool.
I was just curious if you guys had any thoughts on, like, so who decides what women would enjoy on a women's night
right.
out? Why is a why is a Zumba dance part of this in a marathon? What about axe throwing?
I mean,
what about women throwing axes? How about that?
I mean, if you look at all the reports, it says that women love Zumba. Okay, there's been many studies since 2009 that have said that women love Zumba. There is no doubt about it.
I just was like,
have never tried Zumba and don't plan on it.
I was like, it's a good initiative, but like, who decided that they don't want to just like kick it and drink whiskey and play poker? Like, who'd like?
A man decided.
A man decided. So good for also, Kerala, but also a couple steps to go.
Mayor.
Go ahead.
I'm still stuck on
this is not in UP.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
I'm happy this is not in UP because it might be Roscoe's chicken and waffles situation where if you're a rapper, you do not put on Instagram that you're going to be at Waffles Chicken.
Yeah.
I mean, Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Yeah.
And if you're in UP, you do not announce that there's a girls' night.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. Agreed.
Anywhere.
100%.
Just do not mention that you're going to be with a bunch of girls.
100%. Do not do that in UP.
What would be your
Or you will find something
ideal...
in your pee.
Yeah.
What did you... Sorry. Let's move on. Rhea, what did you
quickly,
say?
Quickly. Let's move on quickly. Kush, what would be your ideal girls' night?
Good question.
If I was a girl or me being a man with girls?
No, if you were a girl.
Or me being a man.
You're being a man trying to plan a girls' night for girls.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay, yeah.
Because that's what I think these guys did.
If I'm a man and I'm planning a girls' night.
Yeah.
Well, this would be a really terrible situation because apparently I'm terrible at dates. So like,
really?
If I can't even make one girl happy on a date, how am I supposed to satisfy a bunch of women and plan a night out? I would take them to McDonald's, and then we would get some wine, maybe some spritzers. I don't know what that
spritzers?
Is exactly.
Spritzers, wine coolers,
wine coolers, wine coolers. Is that what?
Are
it is?
You planning the date for my mom?
Yeah, yeah. Like my dates are basically for middle-aged women.
Yeah. Totally.
This is very on brand. Yo, my
brunch?
Waves are huge right now from my cackle. Nice.
I would plan brunch.
Everybody
brunch
loves
is
a good brunch.
Yeah.
All women love brunch and Zumba.
And Zumba. I mean, guys love brunch too. It's food and drinks.
I don't really love brunch. I'm not going to lie.
Just
it's
like
not
food.
Like the best collection of food. Like, there's never been a brunch menu where I'm like, fuck yeah, that's some dope shit.
Yeah.
Like, nah.
Yeah, I always lean towards the avocado toast.
Yeah, just
over anything else usually.
Yeah, nothing
and,
else
like,
is
eggs.
Really like, I don't know. Girls, you guys like brunch for some reason a lot. I don't know.
Sangria? Ooh, I would plan sangria.
Sangria's dope.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sangria's dope.
I like sangria.
Maybe a rom-com?
Hey.
Mm.
We are two dudes here. Why don't we ask Rhea what she would like for a girl's night?
Thank you so much. Well, I'd first like to start off by taking a hammer and just demoing my bathroom. What is going on?
Hey, that's kind of fun, though. If you're being legit about that, that shit's kind of fun.
I mean, I would definitely do that. Okay. I would do Wendy's, not McDonald's, because of the spicy chicken nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to, you know what? I'd like to go out without, like, pepper spray. And like knives and like keys in my hand. I think that's it. And come home at whatever time I want.
So me as the planner, I just have to be like, hey, girls, don't bring your mace. Do not bring your keys and put them between your fingers.
Yeah.
You are perfectly safe.
So I think what Rhea is saying is she wants to feel safe.
That's really it.
Yeah.
I think like I could care
we
less about.
We just want
about,
a safe place.
Yeah. I could care less about what we
to
do.
To have an open conversation.
I don't really care about what we do. If there's food involved, I'm down to like just sit around by the fucking fire and hang out and like have some wine, have some whiskey, have some food. Lots of options for food would be really nice. Like a lot of food, different kinds of foods.
I think we're set on the food part, Rhea. Yeah, I think
we're good on the food. Literally like 10 times.
Yeah, she said it like definitely that many times.
Also, axe throwing.
Yeah, five of those
fun.
Times we couldn't hear it because you said it so
I know,
fast.
I'm sorry.
I know what you mean.
I'm sorry. ice cream would be nice. Also, food.
All right, let's move on.
Some axe
this
throwing
is
would be cool. It would be nice for like because I think I'm pretty self conscious in general. But I wonder how I would feel if I didn't care about safety. Like what I would actually wear. That would be kind of nice because sometimes I'm like, Kunal. I don't look terrible when I wear a dress.
Kunal, get your man.
Yeah, what's happening here?
Like,
you trying to dress like a hoe out here?
I wonder, like, how, what is really affecting me from being self-conscious?
Hey, you stop that right now. You don't need to worry about that right now.
Yeah, just safety. Like, I don't want to worry about calling an Uber and having to send my location to my husband every time.
That's
okay. So you want a shuttle for this event?
I want to be able to get into the Uber without worrying.
That's
you want, so you want a shuttle, basically. Yes.
But I don't want to share it with others. I just want it for myself.
You want security measures?
Yeah.
You want a buffet, essentially.
Yes. Yeah, buffet. I want fire somewhere, like a fire pit. Cozy shit.
And you want to set the entire venue on fire. Yeah. Okay, that's what women want.
So, Rhea's night, ideal night out.
There we go. So
yeah, no fire extinguishers.
Demoing
please.
Bathrooms,
do not bring any fire
lots of food, fire.
Won't be.
Ooh, you should have two bathrooms because a girl's bathroom line is always way too long.
Yeah.
Well,
dope.
Well, okay. Well, that's it kind of makes it easy for me to plan a girl's night out for Rhea in that sense. I have it all laid out there. But
and now I have ideas for a date.
Yeah.
But also, speaking of fucking women and feeling safe, Kush, there's some Scooby-Doo shit going on with Velma. What is happening?
All right. I have so many feelings about this. It's not even that big of a deal. So Mindy Kaling is on a new show called Velma, I guess. And that's a Scooby-Doo show. I feel like half our audience may not even know what the fuck Scooby-Doo or Velma
that's crazy.
In Scooby-Doo
that
is.
That is crazy.
I would hope that they do.
But basically, yeah. So it's like a reimagining of the Scooby-Doo franchise, but without the dog.
Yeah.
No, man.
I heard about this.
Velma is going to be South Asian because it's played by Mindy Kaling. And
is she going
she was
to be Velma?
Surprised that there was backlash for the race swapping.
Is she
going
to be Velma, or she's just like EPing it, like executive?
No, she's Velma. She's the
Velma?
Voice of Velma. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I think she's Velma.
Oh shit.
Yeah, she's
okay.
Velma.
All right. Okay.
Which I thought was pretty cool, but
because they didn't name any other South Asian, so I'm assuming like she's the one playing Velma. So
this is going to be like a significantly older Velma.
No, Mindy Kaling's voice. You heard how she can change her voice.
No, but they are doing like a more adult themed, so they are adults in this.
Okay.
They're not like kids.
Yeah, okay.
And she's going to be either bisexual or gay on the show, I think.
Okay.
So I don't know why they didn't just get Lily Singh if they were going to do all that. But the weird part is that Scooby-Doo, the dog, is not going to be in it. So my question was like, who are you making this show for? Because if it's nostalgia, like people that used to watch Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo was the main shit of the whole show.
Yeah.
So how are you going to get returning people to watch your show? And it's not for kids. It's not like those people are going to have their kids watch the show because for nostalgia, because they mentioned that this was going to be have more adult themes. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons they didn't include Scooby-Doo was because they wanted those adult themes and they thought having a dog would be too kiddish.
Mm-hmm.
Like it would be too geared towards children.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If they put like an animated dog in there.
Got it.
Even though it's still animated show.
Yeah.
Which is like super weird. But I also thought it was funny that she was surprised that there was backlash for the race swapping of Velma. And which is true because she was like, Velma's not on the show. She wasn't defined by her race or ethnicity.
Yeah.
Like there was no
story. None of them were,
like her being white.
Yeah, she could have been anything.
But at the same time, it's like you're taking away the main thing that people would come to see the show for, which is the dog. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it's not for kids. So like, who's their audience? Like new people aren't going to care that much. Maybe I'm wrong, but they're not going to care that much about a show.
I am curious just because even without Scooby-Doo, I'm curious just because like it seems like kind of a new concept to mess with. I don't know. Like I'm a little curious.
I'm just in.
Well, yeah, curiosity, but.
Is it HBO
like
show?
Power.
Yeah, what I was gonna say. I was like, your curiosity might last for like one episode, but they want you to pull through all of them. I wonder if.
Well, let's see. I guess I'm not. To be honest, I like could care less about the race swapping. I understand the Scooby-Doo. I understand the backlash about like getting rid of Scooby, but I also am not like super mad at it. Like whatever, you're trying something new. People try new shit.
As I was like looking at it really quick, like I didn't deep dive into it, but I think what I had seen was that they actually don't have the rights from the company to use Scooby. So they got the rights for everything else, but not Scooby, which still just kind of makes it like somebody should have had that conversation that you're talking about right now, which is like, okay, so then what are we doing this for? Like, why
how did you not get the rights to Scooby, but you got everyone else?
So I think it was part of the PR move then.
Yeah.
To explain other than not having the rights to explain why they didn't include it. But I think it is going to have more adult themes. But I think it was more of an excuse to not include Scooby. So it is, like, to Rhea's point, like, it's so stupid that there's more of a backlash on the race swap than there is of Scooby-Doo himself not being included.
Mm-hmm. What if they changed Scooby's color?
To, like...
Scooby was a Dalmatian? Holy shit. People would go nuts. People go
that'd be a little weird to me. See, that's weirder to me than Mindy Kaling being brown Velma. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's not a fucking Dalmatian. Don't try to make him one. Do you think the rough community would be backlashing?
Yeah, the rough
community. The rough community. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Do you think they would be like, oh, it's just. Okay.
That was like such that was such a good Scooby. Yeah.
I think her character in The Office doesn't remind me of Velma, but how she looked reminded me of Velma.
Yeah, a little bit.
So that makes sense.
I guess because of the
hair. Yeah, I think it's the hair. She already was playing this particular person. Yeah.
Dude, she was so good as Kelly Kapoor.
Definitely.
Yeah,
she was so good.
But yeah, the race swapping doesn't do much, but the part that always grosses me out is it just feels like a checklist.
Yeah. Mm.
For the production company.
Totally.
Which is kind of gross. But
well, does Mindy have any producer credits on this? Because I know she likes to make
I'm sure she does.
So then maybe it's her choice. And if that's her choice, then I'm all fucking with it. She's kind of dominating she's not doing right checklists. Now. Yeah, she is doing checklists as well, sure.
Yeah, that doesn't mean she wouldn't have a checklist. Like,
yeah, she's definitely doing checklists as well. I think, like, I'm fine with it now just because I'm just like... There's got to be somebody, and she's not doing like the worst shit.
It's always one at a time, though, right? Just her. But I have the best. I have the overarching question that you both need to answer on Velma, which is, if she is playing Velma, what race will the love interest be?
White.
It's always white. It's always white.
I can't wait to see.
It's gonna be white.
It's never. Are there any movies or shows where, I think Dev Patel did one, but where a brown guy is with a white girl?
That was Lion. With a white girl. Right? That was Lion, I think, Dev Patel.
That was Lion.
But that was a true story, or based on a true story.
Yeah. Yeah. How many shows are there with like brown dudes that are like the main, though?
Well, it doesn't even have to be main, just any relationship.
What about that movie? Well, again, this is based on true story shit. So are you guys talking about fiction? Because based on true story stuff, I feel like it doesn't count.
Yeah.
True story stuff doesn't count.
That's a good...
The guy in Big Bang Theory think about
that. What about... Okay. Yesterday. That movie Yesterday about the musician. Uh-huh. It was played by a Patel guy. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah. Himesh Patel.
He's a new... Patel. His love interest was white.
Hey, is Riz Ahmed in The Sound of Metal? His love interest was white, but is Riz Ahmed a brown boy or not?
Not two white
people. not two white people.
Excellent answer.
Only in certain aspects, because like he could always play a terrorist, which they love putting him as. Like Kunal said it in many episodes back.
In that movie, Sound of Metal, I think there was absolutely nothing brown about his character. He just happened to be.
But we should look into that. Brown. That's a good question.
Like he wasn't defined by his ethnicity in that movie. So
we should look into that. That is actually a really good question because I honestly can't think of very many like brown relationships.
But I mean, that was more than I remembered. So you guys did doing that.
So okay, we're through the pop culture part. I can quickly get us through these news articles real quick because they're just ridiculous. So and I'll start with the saddest one first. A Sikh family was killed in California. This has been across the news for like the past week or two. It's really fucking sad. There was a kidnapping and a murder in Merced, California, of a mother and father. The brother of that father, and then their fucking 8-month-old baby, which I just truly don't understand why that needed to happen.
Fucking hell.
So these two guys have been arrested in connection with the kidnapping and the killing of the family members. One guy used to work for the father who was murdered here. They had a trucking company. It's two brothers, two Punjabi guys who were brothers. They had a trucking company. They came to the U.S. and... You know, familiar story. They had nothing. One of them decided that he would gain some more independence by getting his commercial driving license and driving a truck. He fucking did that. And then they decided to add another truck. And then being the hard workers that they are, they added more trucks, and more trucks turned it into a business. I guess this is a disgruntled employee and his brother, who then kidnapped all four of these people at the job place, at the office.
They found out he was a previous employee.
Yeah, they did. They confirmed that. It was caught on camera. But then the authorities didn't know where they went. Their bodies were later found in some farmland. And I just don't understand, because like the way that, if you see the surveillance video, the former employee guy, like, he had a gun. I think he points it at the two dudes, who kind of immediately back down, and he zip ties them or whatever. And then that's whatever it is. I can't say whether in the same situation I would have been like, nah, you're not going after my family, whatever, right? That just seems strange to me. I was like, it was one dude with a gun. Maybe you guys could have done something. But the fucking weirdest thing is this employee then went inside to grab the wife and the 8-month-old baby.
Oh my God.
You didn't need to do this. You know what I mean? Like, you did not need to do this, and you should know. You have to be some type of fucking stupid to go grab a woman and a child, an 8-month-old baby, knowing what you're gonna do, or just knowing that accidents happen, and not think like, dude, that's a step too far, because if anything happens, they're gonna throw the book at us and burn us alive. So I don't know why that happened. I don't know what went through their heads that they had the dudes. Why go in for the wife and an 8-month-old baby? Like, why do that?
It doesn't make sense. We're not going to come to like any logic. This person cannot. It is more than just a disgruntled employee. How can you do that?
Yeah.
How do you do that? You know,
it's just weird, because even like some of the craziest serial killers or murderers, they'll like, if there's a baby involved, they'll just leave the baby.
Yeah, they have like a code.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they'll leave a baby somewhere. Yep. Instead of killing the baby outright.
It's really weird, because I've read books on serial killers too, and it's like they operate by really fucked up code, but like sometimes that code is you don't do this sort of shit. But these guys, like, A, why would you do that? B, there's surveillance cameras, you fucking morons. Like,
right.
What is wrong with you people? What did these guys do to you so bad that all four of them needed to die?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at least they're arrested.
Crazy.
They've been charged. And let's hope that, like, we kind of, I don't know, we find a motive
or
something. It's just really upsetting. But I did want to make mention of it. Moving on to that, apparently, like, a couple young kids, 60, oh, not a couple. Okay. I'm incorrect. Sorry. So 69 Gambian children recently died, and their deaths were linked by the World Health Organization to 4 cold and cough syrups that are produced by Maiden Pharma, which is based in India. It's a Maiden Pharma. And they contained unacceptable amounts of contaminating ethylene glycol. Like, there was an analysis done. There was like really bad amounts of things. And the reason I wanted to bring this up was because, like, especially through COVID, a lot of the reporting that I remember reading was talking about how India had such a huge pharmaceutical industry, and how it can very quickly get like vaccines made and get them out to the populations. And I kept seeing that over and over and over and over again. And so what this article touched on was that for decades, you know, India has had a really fast growing pharmaceutical industry, and it's hailed for bringing affordable drugs to the masses. Mm-hmm. But the problem is what you would expect, and I hate to say this with any sort of like Indian business, or I don't want to say any sort of Indian business, but like they have a patchy quality of domestic inspections and something called Jugad that they do, which this article described as creative improvisation or bending the rules depending on your interpretation.
So loopholes.
Which loopholes? Oh, which it just sounds like uncles. Like talking about shit, right? And being like, I can cost cut here, I can cost cut here, I can cost cut here. That type of mentality has helped cut costs to 33% lower than in Western markets. So this is why they can compete. This is why, you know, why it happened. But because of that, this is like a case that we've actually heard of. I can imagine there's probably other cases where people have come down with real fucking wild sicknesses and maybe not died because there's no real review of any of these things that these companies are making. India's health ministry, and I thought this was equally more fucked up, was They attempted to calm down anxious parents by saying the mixtures weren't being sold domestically and saying that the Gambian authorities should have tested the imported products.
Oh my God.
No.
Wasn't that wild? Like just shifting the fucking blame.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, yes, if you're importing shit, maybe you should
to an extent,
test
for sure.
it as well. But it's your responsibility as the manufacturers to
yes.
test
right.
it.
100%, man. It's just weird, though, that we hear about all this sort of stuff. And, like, I didn't really think about it. I was like, wow, India, great pharmaceutical industry. They have affordable prices, like, really dope. But I didn't go to think, how did they manage to make these prices so affordable? Mm-hmm. It's because they're fucking cutting corners.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another really sad story. Really, really shit. That I don't even know what they're going to put into place. I mean, the article didn't say anything about like more measures are being
that's
put into
nuts.
Place. They're just
like, I expect that stuff on like a smaller scale, mm-hmm. like putting cheap vodka in like a bottle of Grey Goose
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind yep. of stuff. Like I expect from businesses over like anywhere,
yeah.
not just in India,
yep.
but this is on another level. Like, how do you not expect to get the hammer thrown at you? Like, it's just weird.
Yeah, you're right. No, 1,000%. Like, don't do it for medicine, guys. Like, just fucking, what the hell? But speaking of medicine, the other thing that I saw was that they ran a survey recently, or an experiment, at a 1,000-bed not-for-profit hotel in Maharashtra, where doctors have recently been grappling with a rash of antibiotic-resistant superbug infections. And that's when I found that India is one of the countries worst hit by what doctors call antimicrobial resistance, which is antibiotic-resistant neonatal antibiotic-resistant infections. Neonatal infections of this type alone are responsible for the deaths of nearly 60,000 newborns each year in India. So they were doing these tests in this hospital to find out which antibiotic would be the most effective in tackling the five main bacterial pathogens that usually tend to hit people. These are things like E. coli, pneumonia, like the pathogen that causes pneumonia, meningitis, and Staphylococcus aureus. It's all stuff that we all deal with here as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a staph infection.
Yeah, like a staph infection, exactly. And what they found was that the drugs they were giving to people don't work, even slightly, for these basic pathogens that the rest of us all kind of take for granted we're not going to get sick from, or we can get out of. And the reason that they think this is happening is because in India, they just kind of throw the hardest shit at you no matter what it is you have. The article was kind of blaming doctors, which
so they've grown
antibiotics for everything.
To it? Is that
yeah
what it is?
So they've grown really resistant. Yeah. The population has grown really resistant to stuff that should be able to treat all of this, and stuff that there are other levels of it, but it's not affordable for people.
Oh.
And so this is becoming a huge problem. I mean, when they talk about like what the future, the biggest issues we're going to have in the future on like a worldwide basis, this is one of them. Like the fact that people are getting more resistant to diseases, and it could become the rise of like super viruses, kind of like COVID,
yeah.
where what do you do? Like this is actually, I think they say it's like more dangerous than like nuclear war, catastrophe, all that sort of stuff. It's the fact that the way that we're going right now, the populations could really not be able to battle these minor things anymore.
So
you know,
what you're saying is our dads who don't want to take Advil are correct.
it's just really interesting. I don't know.
But so the reason for it, you said, is because the more affordable options are, I mean, sorry, the more, the lesser, like not as strong options are not affordable?
No. Like they've been giving out these, I think, lesser versions so much for just everything that they don't work anymore. And so
like slowly they built up a tolerance.
Yeah.
It's
no,
like microdosing, I guess.
I thought I heard you say that there are levels of
the
antibiotics.
The higher level of these same kind of drugs are not affordable for most people.
Okay.
So there is a way to beat these infections, but it's like these people don't have a means of getting it, and their own body is not receptive to the antibiotics that should be able to treat it and would treat it for everyone else.
Okay,
you know?
Got it. Yeah.
So kind of crazy, but I don't know. These are the types of things that I'm just like, when you're, you know, when we hear about like anti-Muslim shit, anti-Hindu shit, all this stuff, I'm like, you realize there's bigger problems that you should be focused on. Like when you have a population of 1.4 billion and like 800 million are below the poverty line and most of them are resistant to this shit, like that's a bigger deal. Like that's somebody focus on that.
Did you say 800 million are below the poverty line?
Yeah, I believe 800 million, if not more, are below
the poverty line. That's more than half.
Yeah, there's a huge number and they still walk around going like India is the best and we've done so much, blah, blah, blah. No, but then, and then we cover all those strikes that have been happening where you have like millions of people taking train tests for like 50 positions. And then they have strike because like who's nobody's talking about
this
that. You know what I
insane.
Mean?
Insane.
They're more focused on fucking Amir Khan in an ad, you know, in a commercial.
This is why I watch Gilmore Girls for the 70 millionth time in a row, because I can't deal with this anymore. I can't. I'm so privileged to not have to deal with these things in real life, but I can't hear about it anymore. I can't.
Yeah. I get it.
This is why I don't listen to Hasan Minhaj. Fuck Hasan Minhaj.
I get it. I totally get it.
I just want to hear about Luke and Lorelai's stupid problems. That's
well,
it.
To end you on a feel-good thing, to end you on a feel-good thing, and then we'll go to brownie points real fast, is that jute bags are coming into fashion, and it is made predominantly in India between West Bengal and Bangladesh.
You know what? I'm not surprised because my first jute bag was from India several years ago, maybe like 15 years ago.
There you go. And like apparently this, the economy for jute was really big back in the day, huge. And then it just kind of decimated because, you know, people were using any other type of fabric and stuff. But now, because everybody wants natural and they want to be like eco-friendly and all that stuff, it's turned into a huge explosion for jute again. Cool. And one of them is literally that Trader Joe's bag.
That Trader Joe's bag, yeah.
That you use.
Yo,
that
it's
you love.
Sturdy. I think it's like good materials. It's natural and it's sturdy.
Yeah. And today, India is the world's largest producer of jute. And they have these jute factories that are
jute
doing this shit.
Bole, go walk up
I was literally going to sing that. I was literally.
And that's literally it, is that there's an explosion of that industry. It's really dope. And that almost all of the world's jute is produced in West Bengal and in Bangladesh.
Nice.
And I had no idea.
That's pretty cool.
So that's good for them. Oh, that's really good for them.
Thank you for ending on that note.
Yeah. 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 I hope no Muslims are making the jute bags because that's a problem.
that would be. Yeah.
So let's go to brownie points. What's going on?
I'm so excited, but I also feel like I have beginner's luck and now I'm going to totally screw up.
Wait, did Rhea win most of them?
This
is kind of in your favor.
I murdered you last time with those colony shits.
I thought I beat her.
Colonies
before,
were good. Yeah, you beat her. You beat me,
but I just want to take the credit. What?
Yeah, so last episode, we didn't get to do it because we had like a very long episode to catch up on other things. But this is also a themed episode. The last edition of Brownie Points we did was the Are You an American Citizen? basically, theme, which was American facts and stuff like that. Uh-huh. But today's Brownie Points is food themed.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
So, Rhea, this is in your corner. So welcome to Brownie Points, where the only thing shittier than the title is me, your host, at Kush Park.
Do we have a theme song? Do we have a theme song?
No, we don't have a theme song yet. So four of these questions are going to be multiple choice, and one of them is going to be a picture challenge, where I will send you guys five photos of Indian sweets, and you have to name them
all. I'm so excited.
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right. Now, let's do the multiple choice questions. Okay. If you are a new listener or you've never listened to the end of an episode, the rules are easy. Rhea and Kunal will pick a question. If they get it right on the first try, they will get 2 points. If they do not, it will go to the other person who can steal it for 1 point, and it'll go back and forth until there is one answer left, at which point nobody will get the point. Are we clear?
Yes.
Here we go.
All right. Question number one. Which Indian curry dish is actually based on a Portuguese dish? Is it A? Oh, this will I'll just pick, this will go to
Rick. Okay.
Is it A, fish, Molly? I think there's another spelling. I think it's pronounced mole.
Okay.
So it's fish mole. B, malai kofta. C, vindaloo. Or D, chicken salan. So which Indian curry dish is actually based on a Portuguese dish?
I've actually not heard of the first and the last one.
Fish mole, malai kofta, vindaloo, and chicken salan.
How do you spell salan?
S-A-L-A-N.
Salan.
I'm sure it has many other names, but this is the version I saw.
Okay. oh, God. Let's go with the fish one.
So what is based? Fish?
Yeah.
Mole. Ria, for 2 points. That is incorrect.
Bong.
Okay.
Fish mole is from Kerala.
Okay. Bong.
Just FYI. So, Kunal, you can steal this for 1 point. Mm. The choices remaining are malai kofta, vindaloo, or chicken salan.
Let's go with malai kofta.
Kunal, for 1 point, a dish from North India. That is incorrect.
Damn it. All right.
Okay, so Ria, this goes back to you for 1 point. The remaining choices are vindaloo or chicken salan, which is based on a Portuguese dish.
Vindaloo?
If you get this right.
Ria, for 1 point, that is
God
correct.
Damn it. Finally.
That's the one I thought.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking in the beginning, but I was like, I don't know. Damn okay. It. All right.
Yeah, so vindaloo is from Goa, and as I guess maybe most or some people know, like that part of India was taken over by the Portuguese or whatever. And the Portuguese dish that it's based on is called carne de vine.
Carne asada. Just go ahead and say carne asada.
But basically, it means meat in garlic marinade.
Oh, yes. I could use some vindaloo right now. Yeah,
vindaloo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so vindaloo is based on a Portuguese dish.
Okay.
Okay, Kunal, since Ria, since that question went to Ria first, pick either number 2, 3, or 4.
3.
For 2 points. There have been many wars involving the Middle East over the decades, mainly over religion and oil.
Hmm.
One of these wars was a non-violent but politically charged war over the origins of hummus that started in 2008,
hummus.
Named the Hummus Wars. Which two countries were primarily involved in this conflict?
Oh, no.
The Hummus Wars. Is it A, Israel and Palestine? Mm-hmm. B, Syria and Palestine? C, Iraq and Lebanon? Or D, Israel and Lebanon? Primarily, which two countries were involved in the Hummus Wars? Gunal, for 2 points. Your answer was B, Syria and Palestine? Yes. That is incorrect.
Damn. Oh, shit.
Damn.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, Ria, this goes back to you for 1 point. Who was involved primarily in the Hummus Wars? Is it Israel and Palestine, Iraq and Lebanon, or Israel and Lebanon?
Israel and Lebanon.
Ria, for 1 point. That is correct.
Oh, shit.
Israel and Lebanon.
So it started in 2008. The origins of hummus is like hotly debated, of course, by these countries, just like religion is territory.
We didn't have enough things to fight over.
So Lebanon claims that they had come up with hummus, but the reason that Israel says that they came up with it is because of when land was given to them or whatever. And so certain parts of the region, of the land that was given to Israel in the past, I guess they had hummus.
Uh-huh.
So they were claiming that it's actually theirs. And so I think Lebanon was trying to break the Guinness World Records for biggest like hummus dish. I think after they heard like Israel was claiming that hummus was theirs.
Oh my God.
So then Israel tried to make a bigger hummus dish.
This all sounds like great things to me.
Yeah, but it was like very heated because it was politically charged because they were just like, no, this is our staple.
Oh,
we invented this. So it got really intense. And then Palestine, of course, jumped in and they're against Israel.
Yeah.
So there was an issue with that. And Palestine was like, no, this is our staple dish.
That's insane how intense and political this got.
Seriously.
Yeah, so the Hummus Wars, I think, lasted until like 2010 or something.
What the fuck? Jesus.
The Hummus Wars.
So Rhea, it's I think you're winning 2-0, right?
Kunal, did you get anything right?
I got nothing right. Thanks. Okay. Thanks for that. Appreciate that.
All right. Rhea, you get to, it goes back to you. You get to choose between number 2 and number 4.
4.
Okay. South Asian influences are embedded in the DNA of many popular West Indian/Caribbean dishes. What is the most commonly used bread in these regions, or at least word used for bread within these dishes? Is it A, roti, B, naan, C, puri, or D, paratha?
Like, so it's most commonly used in Caribbean food as well as Indian food, is what you're saying?
No, just strictly like West Indies, Caribbean food. Which word do they use the most for these Indian dishes?
Okay, hold
Indian
on.
Influenced
Fuck.
Dishes. Is it A, roti, B, naan, C, puri, and D, paratha?
Let's go with roti.
Rhea, for 2 points. That is correct.
Oh, thank God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I said puri because I know that that's also a thing, but I was like, wait, they got double rotis all the time. That's their thing.
Also, a lot of their rotis are also parathas. Like, they're kind of made like parathas, but they call most
them
of it roti.
Yeah.
And don't come at me, listeners. This is like mostly anecdotal, I would admit. But, you know, even after a few quick Google searches, I couldn't find a more commonly used word than roti for a lot of the breads they
eat. That makes sense.
With Indian food.
Oh my God. I have 4 points?
Wait. Yeah.
But like I said, this was geared towards you a little bit. All right. Kunal.
Yes.
Your remaining multiple choice question is number 2. So here we go. The origins of chicken tikka masala are seemingly unknown and highly debated. Which 3 countries or regions have legitimate claims to this popular dish?
Gujarat better be one of them.
Is it? chicken
tikka masala.
Is it A, North India, Pakistan, East Africa? B, North India, Britain, Bengal? C, North India, Malaysia, Pakistan? Or D, North India, Britain, Scotland?
What?
Which 3 countries or regions have legitimate claims to this popular dish?
I'm going with B off the top. Just going with B. I feel like it's wrong, but that's where my heart was taking me.
So North India, Britain, and Bengal?
Yes.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer. I'm a man of my word. I don't get shifty.
Kunal, for 2 points. That is incorrect.
What the fuck, man? How? If it
that's
ends up being Scotland, I will fucking kill you, Kush.
Rhea, it goes back to you for 1 point. Which 3 countries or regions have legitimate claims to chicken tikka masala? Is it North India, Pakistan, East Africa? North India, Malaysia, Pakistan? Or North India, Britain, and Scotland?
I'm going to choose North India, Britain, and Scotland.
Rhea, for 1 point. That is correct.
How is Scotland involved?
Why is it? Yo, wait. I'm sorry I was delayed. I was looking at something. That is what the fuck? That is wrong. That is absolutely wrong.
Yo, fuck you, Scotland. You don't own this shit.
Chicken tikka masala.
I'll at least give a little bit of credit to Britain, even though they don't deserve it.
Yeah.
But what the fuck?
It's not called chicken tikka masala oi ay. I tried to do a Scottish accent. Didn't work.
Wait, what was that?
Yeah, what was that?
It didn't work. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, the way you gotta do it is you gotta start with donkey.
Donkey. Donkey. Not donkey masala.
You won't be as mad when I explain to you why it's Scotland.
Okay.
So the main claim, again, it is contested, but the main claim and the seemingly most legitimate goes to a British Pakistani chef named Ali Ahmed Aslam at his restaurant in Glasgow, Scotland.
Oh.
Where he apparently improvised the dish to counteract some dry chicken that somebody had complained about.
So this wasn't a Scottish dude claiming that he made chicken tikka masala. This was my man Islam in Scotland.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, so that was it was kind of a trick question.
Damn.
But apparently, like, the main claim goes to Glasgow, Scotland. But the second most brought up origin is Britain,
basically. Yeah, so for sure.
Is it popular in Scotland because of this guy?
I don't know. That's actually a good question. I didn't see anything about that. I think it is, though. Chicken tikka is actually very popular in a lot of places. It's popular in Hong Kong too, from what I see.
Have you ever met a Scottish person in real life?
No. Not that I know of.
One. Oh, you have?
Yeah, he was a customer and he had like a thick Scottish accent.
Oh, okay. I was thinking they maybe they don't exist. Kind of like Thai
people. Scottish! Is that correct? Scottish!
Scottish, yeah, donkey!
Yeah. If anybody could pull off, if anybody could pull off the accent, I think it would be Rhea. But I feel like she needs to study just a little bit more.
I do. I always need to study. I can't just come up with it. Yeah.
All right. So
is this a picture one?
Kunal, yeah, this is the photo one. I know this is weird for our audio podcast listeners, but I'll describe all the pictures to you guys that I sent to Rhea and Kunal right now. So I'm going to send you 5 photos. Ooh. Each photo is worth 1 point.
Okay.
So Kunal, you still have a chance to tie if Rhea gets all of them wrong.
Okay.
And you get all of them right. All right.
I can do it.
The first, I'm going to send them to you pretty much back to back, but I'm going to explain to the audience what each one is. So this is the first one I'm going to send. If I figure out how to send it like an old man that I am. So you guys have to name, you don't have to get it exactly right, but if you get the base name correct, because, you know, a lot of these have like multiple descriptions or whatever. Okay. If you get the base name correct, you will get the point. So let me know when you guys are done. I'll keep recording. I'll just cut this out during the edit.
I'm done because I've seen everything. I'm done, but I'm only, shut up. I'm only done because I know what I know and I know what I don't know. Like, I don't know the names of some and I have seen it my whole life, but I have no idea.
I know all of these and the names are escaping me right now.
Yeah, I've seen everything and I've tasted everything and I don't know some.
Hey, yo.
If you both get the name correct, the tiebreaker goes to the person that can give me the exact name, like the perfect description for it.
Okay. So how do we do this? Yeah, how do we say our answers?
Kunal, are you done? Okay, so for number one, the correct exact name for this dessert is gajar nu halwa, which translates to carrot, whatever halwa translates to, I don't know.
So I wrote gajar ka halwa because I think nu is a Gujarati thing, right? Gajar nu halwa.
Yeah, that's perfect. Okay. And Kunal, what did you write?
I wrote gajar ka halwa.
Did you really?
Yeah, I swear to God. This might be the only one I know.
You looked shady. So, all right, so both of you get a point.
I actually believe that he knew that, but yeah.
I got that one.
Both of you get a point. Both of you have the second one written down?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know I'm wrong, but I know what this is, but I know I'm wrong. It's
most commonly known as rasgulla.
That's what I wrote.
Fuck.
That's what you wrote.
I wrote rasmalai, and I know that's wrong.
Kunal, I really thought you would have known rasgulla. Rasmalai is the one with the lots of cream in it. Milk.
It was escaping me. I wrote it and knew it wasn't the right one. Like, I knew it wasn't.
Rasgulla. Bengalis call it rasgulla.
Just for funsies, what would you rate this on a scale of 1 to 10? 10 being really good.
I love this one.
Zero.
Gajar ka halwa, what would you rate it?
Zero.
Two.
Zero? For gajar ka halwa?
Two for me.
If somebody gives me gajar ka halwa, I send it back.
It's always hard pass for me. Always. Yeah.
That's insane.
Rasgulla, also a zero.
I love rasgulla. Rasgulla to me is like a 9.
Really? Nah, for me, it's like a 3.
Mm.
Yeah.
3 or 4.
It's down there.
Okay. For the third photo, it's just rice kheer.
Okay, so I wanna debate you on this because for Bengalis, we call it bayish. For South Indians, it's bayasam. Could you look that up for me? I'm going to actually look it up real quick. I just want to make sure that I'm not wrong.
Yeah. Kunal, I got it wrong because I thought it was either faluda or chicken. One or the other.
Okay. So for people that don't know what kheer is, it's rice pudding.
Okay, so apparently bayasam is kheer, which is...
Okay, cool.
Kheer also is a hard 0 in my books.
What?
This I would have, but I'm really not like a huge...
I like rice pudding. I'll give it a 6.
Hard 0. My dad loves this shit.
Like, I'll have it, but oh man, I'm not a fan like that. But we call it bayish.
Yo, what's the next one? Tell me what the next one is, because I'm going to die if I got this right.
I have it, and this is a Bengali sweet. I have it as sandesh. Or sandesh.
Really?
Shondesh. Yeah.
Shondesh. Yeah, I know what Shondesh is. I actually could not tell that that was Shondesh.
It's not shaped as a fish. It can't be.
Yeah, that's how that's how I had it. Be Bengali.
You had it, Kunal?
Yeah, when I had it at your house for the engagement, and they made the fish Shondesh or whatever.
Wait, what
they
did you
it.
Write for this?
Yo, Kush, tell me that's not a fucking bando.
It looks like a bando, but I don't think it is.
That is a bando. That has to be a bando. Like, that's got to be our version of bando.
Okay, I will say, Kush, I will say that that is definitely a picture of Shondesh that's not very common. Like, normally, Shondesh doesn't look like that. So I can see how he's confused, and I actually didn't think that was Shondesh.
Okay, gotcha.
It looked like a bando.
Also,
bando.
I literally...
Is this more of a Shondesh?
We have it like this. Let me show you.
Literally, I had it in the shape of a fish.
No, I know. It could be any color...
No, any time your mom has given me that, it's been in the shape of a fish.
No, you're right. But color-wise, it's usually white-ish. It's not that yellow.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Gunal, I'll still give it to you.
You don't have to give me this one because I literally wrote, don't know, maybe almond-based.
Okay, got it. So Kunal got that point.
Yeah. And
Bando, I would say is like a, I'd say it's like a 5 because it can go either way. It either tastes like chalk or it's nice.
Yeah, sometimes it could be good. I would give it like a 6. Mm. Yeah, a little bit above either average. Way.
Yep.
All right, for the last one, there's two answers I could give it, which is like the half American answer, which is sesame chicky. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to go full Indian, Thil or Thal Chikki.
I wrote, don't know what it's called, sesame and sugar based. That's all I wrote.
Nice. Wait, Kunal, what did you have?
If I wrote Thal Papri, is that incorrect?
No, you're right.
Thal Papri. Is that what your family calls it?
I have no idea. It was just in my head.
I looked it up. It's called Thil Papri.
What?
Yeah.
I pulled that out of my ass. I saw it and was like, Thal Papri, but I don't know.
I'm looking at it. Thal Papri, Thal Chikki, yeah.
Oh, what? Wow. See, this is so hard because there's so many different regions that call everything
What's
different.
What's wild is the stuff that I had no idea, Kunal had an idea.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
And those were the harder ones to me. Like, I would never have known that this was called Thal Chikki or Thal Papri.
So Thal Papri looks a little... different. It's a different shape, and I think they're using a different sugar.
You know how my mom be eating sweets? I know all the sweets. I know all of them.
Hold on.
Yeah, I think it's interchangeable, but
I think I win, to be honest.
Yeah. Good. I still got 3 and you got 2.
Yeah, I think Rhea
oh,
got
no,
the
he
most
got sorry. No. Wait. Actually, Kunal got 3. No.
Well, this last one's debatable. We don't know if I got it.
You got number 1, number 4, and number 5. I got number 1. Number 2 and number 3. So I still win because we tied this one.
Yeah. And she just wins overall because she swept you.
She swept me on the rest of them. Yes.
You got swept.
I mean, with the number of times that I mentioned I want food on my night out, if I didn't win this, it would have been a shame. This is a good one. I like this.
That was a good one. Awesome. I like that. That was excellent.
Yeah, I think next edition, the theme will be Diwali because that'll be like our Diwali episode probably.
Oh, we're both going to lose.
Yeah, but it'll be good.
Fun.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys had fun. This has been Brownie Points.
Yay.
There you go. Brownie Points. And this has been episode 134 of MMT. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you guys enjoy the new format, which is kind of the same format, but just a little bit new thingies in there. And that's all I got. Hopefully, we didn't make you so sad by reporting.
I feel like Brownie Points to end the day. Brownie Points to end the episode is, it sounds like it would make people feel better. Makes me feel better.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it makes me feel better too. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Episode 134 is me, Kush, and Rhea, and we are fucking out. Oh, damn.
Beep, boop, bop, bop, beep, boop, bop, bing, bing,
there
boom,
we go. Bop,
Mild Mannered and Timid is produced by Kunal, Kush, and Rhea. Edited by Kush and Rhea. With music and scoring by Rhea. I'm generally useless. See you next time.